Good morning, everyone. In the last place that we left off in the book of Acts, we remember that God spoke to a man named Cornelius, a Roman centurion who was described as one who feared and obeyed the God of Israel. But he did not yet know the fullness of the true salvation that comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so we saw God's hand moving in the life of Cornelius to bring him to faith in Jesus as he sent an angel who commanded Cornelius to find Peter so that he could hear the message, the gospel of Jesus, and come to know the one true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Through Christ alone is there a way to the Father. Through Christ alone is there salvation that comes by God's grace. And so we know that Cornelius obeyed, and where we last left off, he had just sent his servants out to go and find Peter, who is now in Joppa. And we continue to see now God's plan unfold. We see him working now, as we're going to look into today's vision. And this vision holds a great significance as it shows the heart of God that has always been his heart, that all people, every nation, every tongue would come and bow down and know that he is Lord. Every soul that would turn to him and believe that they could be saved, they would be saved by God and his grace. And so this is God's gracious plan, and we're going to have two parts to this gracious plan as we unpack it together as we go through the word. So today's part one of God's gracious plan. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. Verses 9 through 23. This is the word of God. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. Peter, kill is common or unclean. God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen, Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's behold, three men are looking you're coming. like losing, even playing. It's important for us. And bleeding internet speed. We never needed any of that. The same way that Cornelius in those times went to pray to God, the same way that Peter went up to that rooftop to pray to God, the same way that we've seen outlined in the entirety of the Bible to connect with God, we have the same means right now today that's always been a and even more so, as those who know what Christ has done in his death and resurrection, remember when he died on the cross that the veil in the temple was torn, that barrier between humanity and God, the Holy of Holies, where only one person could go in during the year because God's holiness was too much to bear, that veil was torn into. And what that represented, what Christ did for us by his grace, was that for those who repent and believe in him, now we have instant connection with the God of the universe. Forget Verizon Fios or whatever you use to have, you know, internet access and connection. Those speeds are nothing compared to the connection that God opened up through Christ, where in a moment, right now, Lord, I'm talking to you. He hears me. He listens. Why? Because of the grace that he's shown us through Christ. He made it possible. So the God of the universe made a way for us to connect with him directly. And he wants to meet us. He wants us to share in his plan. So connect with God. Now here's the thing. Remember that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there is a permanent connection that is made between you and God. When you are saved by grace through faith, once and for all of your sins forgiven, past, present, future, he's paid for it all. And on the cross, he said, it is finished. That's what he meant. So if you believe in him, the connection that you have with God cannot be broken. It cannot be disrupted. It's not like a phone line where someone calls and then it's disconnected. It's not slow speeds. No, the connection by his grace gives that is forever connected. So you have a means of talking with God, the God of the universe, growing in your relationship with him. But the question is, do you have things that hinder your connection? Do you have things in your life that come in and fill your mind and fill your heart so that you forget the connection that you with God? Connecting with God, being as one who is connected. Are you living as someone who is actively going to God in a daily relationship with him? Simply put, is prayer a significant part of your life? On a daily basis, are you taking advantage, if you will, of that connection that God has given to you by his grace? Talk with him, plead with him. Be angry, frustrated, whatever it might be, but go to God. Connect with him. Grow in your relationship with him, no matter what the circumstances of life are, the highs and the lows. The birthdays, the funerals, the hills, the valleys, whatever your life, whatever's in your life, go to God in prayer. And it's in the midst of our prayers where God can speak, where we can be receptive to him and what he wants to speak into our lives. So again, remember, because of God's grace and love, those who have a connection with him by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, saved by his grace, that connection can never be severed. But make a way that connection does not have interference and things, you know, coming in. Let's not let busyness of life and the things of this world disturb or affect that connection that we have with him in a way that we're not living for him, in a way that we're going away from him. Connect with God on a daily basis. Go to him in prayer. Go to him. Connect with him. And we'll see his gracious plan for us. We'll see that we can trust in him. Second thing is this: heed God's. Peter saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once. So again, it's in the midst of prayer, in the midst of connecting with God, that God comes to Peter and shows this vision. And God reveals to Peter a significant truth about the heart of God. And it also shows that God sees into the heart of Peter, and there's a timely word that Peter needs to hear so that he can continue to live his life faithfully, so that he can continue on in the purpose that God has for him to make the name of Jesus Christ known, to share the amazing gospel of Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. So we see the sheet descend in this vision that he has, and there's all these types of animals, and ultimately God commands Peter to get up and eat. And remember, it's lunchtime, so he's actually hungry, and there's food being prepared, but it's in the midst of this that he has his vision, but he says, "By no means, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now, at first, it's like, hey, if the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. But God showed him this vision and asked him to do this very thing for a very his perspective, his heart on what he views as clean. So context is so important here. Peter is a Jew, and in the Jewish law, there are certain food regulations that were given to them about what they could and could not eat. According to Leviticus chapter 11, chapter 20, verses 25 to 26, some animals that were considered clean, you could eat, while others that are unclean, you were forbidden from eating. And so this area of dietary concern, sometimes people say, well, why don't we still follow these rules? Well, we're going to see part of that as we see this passage unfold, but we've seen that faithful Israelites in the Old Testament, faithful people of God, have been commended and blessed for following these certain Levitical laws and dietary food laws in the Jewish culture, in the Israel people. Some examples, Daniel is one clear example, who refused to eat and defile himself with foreign unclean food when he was in Babylon. He was rewarded. But here there is something God is communicating to Peter, and it's not just about and diet. Verse 15 again, and the voice came to him a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." You see, what God was challenging Peter to do was to have a dramatic change in his understanding of this idea of the boundaries that he understanding of specific plan to show Peter what he's talking about. You see, there were laws that were never meant to exclude people from knowing the one true God. It was always about the actually showing the heart of God that would draw people to want to know who this God of Israel is. And that's actually what
Cornelius,
right?
Cornelius,
Israel, a part of
the main fear.
So God is teaching Peter about times in this vision, right? Verse 16. And the thing was taken up at once to heaven. You see, to associate with Gentiles, even in Jewish culture, was to be hanging out with someone. Because they're not the true, you know, Israelites. They're mixed with idols and other things. But God says, no. What I have called clean, don't you dare call unclean. My message, my plan, my gracious plan is for all who would come to know Christ. It's like God was saying, heed my timely word and authority. In this place in history, in what I'm asking of you to do, you need to have a profound change and shift in the way that you view humanity, in the way that you view my salvation. Do not let Levitical laws and Jewish rules hinder you from reaching the Gentiles with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, more than those laws, do not let the prejudice that maybe you haven't quite seen in your own heart, do not let those things hinder you from taking the message of Jesus to those who need to hear it, who I want to hear it. So what does this mean for us? Place our faith in that you give. Now, how do I live my life? When we start surrendering our lives to God, there's going to be times when we're significantly challenged as believers of Jesus Christ. God gives to us a timely word to pinpoint things in our hearts that are keeping us from living fully for Christ. Now, what you do with that timely word is up to you. You can respond in repentance and turn to God in faith and say, thank you for showing me this thing so that I can instead live in a way that is pleasing and honoring to you. You know, and I think many of us, you know, have prejudice whether we truly acknowledge them or not that cause us to miss out on this great plan of God. For so long, that even though he was saved by grace through faith in Jesus, he was still learning just this. And maybe we're like that. We have a picture of who is and who isn't acceptable to God, who we're willing to reach out to with the faith, who we're willing to reach out to with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God makes it clear that he has the authority, and truly by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have all been made clean through the forgiveness of sins and included into the people of God, regardless of our background, regardless of the situations and circumstances we might have been in, right where we were, his truth, the timely word, right, just like that, by God's grace, we can be for eternity. Maybe even this is a timely word as you hear this message. Will you heed God's timely word? Maybe he's challenging you in some area of your heart, of your life, to repent and turn to him and trust in him and his gracious plan. Don't let your own stubbornness or prejudice keep you from fully living for God. He will give you a timely word. Ultimately, when you connect with God through prayer, it's not just me up here talking about God. This is the word of God being preached. So pray, connect with God. Heed his timely word. Be in prayer, be in the word. Let's take part in God's gracious plan. Lastly is this, obey God's word. Verses 7 to 23. Now while Peter was in and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one who you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in as guests. So Peter was still reflecting on this vision, and it says still a bit perplexed. He's trying to figure out what it all meant. That Cornelius had sent to go to Simon the tanner's house where Simon was residing at the time to go and get him. They arrive. And the Holy Spirit tells Peter to go out and meet these men who are looking for him. And to do so without any hesitation. So the men report that they're representing Cornelius, that an angel of the Lord had spoken to Cornelius and told them to go and find Peter. And here it is. I think this happens a lot in the book of Acts. There's a simple obedience that takes place. So obeying God's words, so important. If we look at verse 20, what does it say? "Rise and go down and accompany them." "For I have sent them." It's an immediate to God's word. What an awesome thing, without hesitation. And I think this is something that we have to learn as believers of Jesus Christ. This is something that we have to learn to do, that even when we don't have everything all figured out, maybe we have strong feelings that are leading us one way or the other, and we know that there's some part of our hearts, there's something that we're feeling that may be taking us astray from the word of God. We're figuring it out still. But even in the midst of not having to know everything about the Bible, the key is we still need to learn to obey. You see, even if we can't really understand why, if God is asking us to do it, we go and we do. We obey the word of God. And he's going to continue to work in our hearts. He's going to continue to unfold and show us the reasons for the commands that he gives to us. So we saw in his vision, he's perplexed. We saw that his framework of his life and the way that he thinks, even his theology is still so heavily influenced by his Jewish upbringing. He's perplexed. He's pondering. And then in the midst of that, here comes these men representing a Gentile soldier. And I believe that God is saying to Peter again, don't hesitate or doubt. I have sent these men. They aren't Israelite Jews. Just because they are Gentiles does not mean that I cannot work through them. That this is not a part of God's gracious plan. It is. And so in God's gracious plan, salvation is truly for all people, all ethnicities, all backgrounds, to anyone who would come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. So he's instilling that in Peter's heart. He's trying to make sure that Peter knows. And we see actually later on that Peter has some arguments, or the Apostle Paul actually has to talk with Peter, because we still see the residue of the life, the framework of life living that he had once lived, where he considered the Gentiles to be lesser than the Israelites in a very real sense. But God's working in his heart. He's showing him the heart of God, his gracious plan for humanity. And so as God's people and his church, let's be connected with God. Let's connect with him daily through prayer. We pray. It gives opportunity for God to speak into our eyes, for us to hear a timely word of God, the Bible. It gives us opportunity to see God's character, and again, for a timely word where it might need to be spoken into our hearts. It might challenge us to the core of what we know. Good. So that God's gracious plan that we are a part of by his grace through faith, we can now take and obey his word, sharing this truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world and those around us. So let's, as a church, remember that God's gracious plan is still unfolding. It has unfolded first in your life, in your heart. If you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God made his way to you. God showed you his heart. God showed you his message, the good message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you responded in faith, that's also still by God's grace. Not that you did something great, but that Jesus did what was impossible so that we could have eternal life with him. And now, his plan still unfolding. Be a part of that plan by taking this message to the ends of the earth. Take this challenging things, but his grace for you, his empowerment is with you through the Holy Spirit. Listen to how the Spirit directs him. Isn't that such an awesome thing? When the Spirit directs you, listen. When the Spirit directs you, you have conviction in your heart to give, to reach out to someone. Don't ignore it. Let's live for God. Let's be a part of his gracious plan. Let's pray together. Just take a moment to pray. Next week, we're going to see, as God's gracious plan continues to unfold, that Cornelius and his entire household saved by God's grace through this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a celebration that must be. And all of it because, again, God's gracious plan. He made a way to Cornelius and said, hey, you got to go talk to this guy, Peter. He went to Peter and said, hey, there's going to be guys coming. You're going to go with them. You're going to share the message of my love. See, God is orchestrating these things in his plan because he loves us too much to leave us lost, to leave us in the dark. So right now, can you just pray? Can you first thank God for his gracious plan in your life? Do you believe that? Do you trust that? If he has brought about salvation in your life by his grace, that he also has a plan for you, a purpose for you in this world to glorify him. Doesn't matter how young or how old you are, that purpose, that gracious plan is still unfolding. So be a part of it. Connect with him. You pray that? Lord, I just want to connect with you. Help me to connect with you every day this week in prayer. And if you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, I'm so thankful that you're here because the Word of God is living and active and he wants you to know who he is. So at any point, if you want to connect with God, he said, God, I recognize the sin in my heart. I recognize the prejudices in my heart. I recognize the things that I cannot remedy. Lord, I need you. Forgive me for my sins. I trust in you as my Lord and Savior. Then God will meet you right then and there. And his plan will unfold in your life as well. Just take a moment to pray and then I'll close this. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. Help us to see just how magnificent and amazing and gracious your heart truly is. That as we see this plan unfolding, what a remarkable thing that the God of the universe, holy, righteous, will look on lost sinners and rather than condemning us, punishing us as we deserve, Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for tearing that veil in two. Thank you for giving us a connection with you. Right now, what an awesome thing to talk with the God of the universe. And God, thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you hear our cries, that you hear our prayers, that you know our hearts. Speak into us a timely word, whether it's of rebuke or encouragement, challenging us, giving us peace, whatever it may be, help us to heed that word and trust in you. Even if we don't understand it fully, that because we trust in you, we'll move in obedience. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.